I didn't say you should celebrate me. I said celebrate him. He's more than that. Celebrate him. Take your seat. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning. Celebrate the choir for that wonderful rendition. God bless you. More of that in Jesus' name. More than that. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You know, when you give a wonderful worship, it prepares the heart of the preacher. That's one thing you don't know. When you are rehearsing, you are not rehearsing for yourself alone. Amen. So thank you for that. I'm excited today. I have one of my cousins in the house. Let me celebrate, bro. Kola Obadari. Amen. He used to be in Calabar, but he's now in Ibadan, by God's grace. God is just attracting all my family members to Ibadan. We are about to make something happen in this town. Hey, my God. Tell your neighbor, say, just watch and see. Ibadan, we hear about us. Nigeria, we hear. Amen. And now, interestingly, we started something last week, very powerful. And, you know, the Lord has been opening my understanding, you know, wider than what I saw and what was spoken last week. And please, I'd like you to follow this series. If you are not here last week, it is important you get this message. Go to the media or go on our platform, social media platform, get this message so that you can have a foundation understanding of this message. So I'm going to do a brief recap of what we said last week so that we can all be on the same page for the sake of those who have not who were not here last week. And so we started a teaching titled Salvation and the Knowledge of the Truth. Say that after me. Salvation and the Knowledge of the Truth. Our anchor scripture is in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. Can I have 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4? Very important. From verse 1 to 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 to 4. If you have your Bible, you open to 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 4. The Bible is saying, I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The Bible says the duty of all believers to pray for all men, both believers and unbelievers. It is our primary duty. Apart from evangelism, one of the things that is expected and required of a believer is intercession for all men. When you pray for all men. Verse 2 says, for kings in order of priority, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4 is our center of teaching. If you are with your Bible, read verse 4 with me. One, two, go. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Praise God. The Bible says it is the heartbeat of God that all men should be saved. How many? All men. So is there somebody you should not preach to? No. God wants everybody saved. By predestination. The heart of God for every man that enters the world is that they will come back to Him in salvation. People will say, but there are people that God predestinated for death, for destruction. No. I need you to understand predestination. Predestination is called foreknowing. God knowing the choice you will make. He didn't make the choice for you. Get this very clear. God saw Jacob. He said, Jacob, I hate. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. He didn't make the choice for them. He didn't make the choice for Esau to sell his birthright. God only saw into the future what Esau was going to do. While God is all knowing. But by God's design is that every man should be saved. Listen, I was saved over 21 years now, 19th of February 1999. It was choice. They preached to me. I believe it. And it was by my willpower I accepted salvation. It was not forced on me. Adam made his choice in the garden. Jesus too, remember, he made his choice. In Gethsemane, when he saw the agony of death, the Bible says, he prayed, the human part of Jesus said, oh God, that this cup be taken away. All of a sudden he said, Lord, let your will. The will of him as a man, as at that time, is that the pain should be taken. He said, but God, let your will superimpose on my will. And so God wants every human being on earth to be saved. Can you celebrate God for your salvation? Can you celebrate God? Ah, yeah, yeah. Wow. That's the best thing. Listen. The greatest thing that can happen to a man is for the man to be saved. Lately, when a governor died and I was driving around and I saw everywhere, billboard, his pictures everywhere, all kind of appellation, is an icon, greatness has gone to whatever. They were saying, I told my wife, I said, look at all these things. If salvation is removed, it's rubbish. He became a senator, he was this. Remove salvation, all of that ends in hell. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man that he gained the whole world? You have all certificates, you build house in all the nations of the world, and minus salvation. It would have been good, you did not come to the earth. So, primarily, the heartbeat of God for every man is salvation. But we saw that he didn't stop there. That after salvation, salvation is not all there is God wants for you. Yes, salvation is primary. But secondly, after you are saved, God wants you to have the knowledge of the truth. Everybody say after me, say the knowledge of the truth. Say like somebody that has it, say the knowledge of the truth. Look at it, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Say one. Say that after me. Say one. Number 2, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. After you are saved, you are not in the complete will of God if you don't have epignosis. Accurate knowledge, precise knowledge of the person of Christ. You are not in the center of God. If you are saved, will you make heaven? Yes. But without the knowledge of the truth, the devil can still rubbish your life here. Have you not heard of people who receive salvation after they are saved? A few years later, they say, this Christianity thing is confusion. They put it on social media. What happened after they received salvation? What happened? The will of God that they should have the knowledge of the truth did not follow. And I said this, and I used to say it all the time. The criteria to attend a church is not the ambience of the church. That they have AC in that church. To hell with AC. It's not the grammar of the pastor. It's sound doctrine. It's the knowledge of the truth being taught. Because listen, your life depends on it. Listen. Your eternity depends on salvation. How many of you agree with that? Your life here and hereafter depend on the knowledge of the truth. My people perish because they lack knowledge. You know, for God to identify with a people, it means there's a relationship. And listen, this is where the body of Christ is suffering today. When people come into salvation, the next thing they start pursuing is title. I know people who were not born again. Few years later, in the church where I grew up, they were called apostles. And there was no salvation experience. So the man that didn't have salvation experience, how will he be tutored in the knowledge of the truth? Today you go to a church, you go and preach, and they will tell you, say, sorry, we have important things to do. Please help us preach for 25 minutes. We have important things to do. I have received several notes like that. We have some important things. Please help us, like 25 minutes. Important things. Please, what should be more important in a church service? See, all this jamboree people do all about. The Bible says, for who will? His will is that after you are saved. Why? In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, the Bible says he appointed 5 offices for one reason. Teaching the knowledge of the truth. He appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers and evangelists for the equipping of the saints. You don't equip the saints by doing, Holy Spirit help me. By doing jamboree.
Today is Suya Splash Music Cantata.
No, they believe those are the things that bring people. But there's something, you can use strategy to bring people. It doesn't keep people.
Neither does it grow people. The instrumentality to growing men is knowledge.
Sound teaching. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 15. From thy childhood thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise. There's a wisdom unto salvation.
You can be saved and be a fool.
There are many people who have received Christ, but they are still fools. Why?
There is no knowledge of the truth.
There is no knowledge of the truth. That's why you must sit down. Listen, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a life of study. You study. Paul, counseling, mentoring Timothy, says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All makes you a sound Christian is not gifts. Have ability to speak in diverse tongues. If you listen to me, if there is no accurate knowledge, you will still speak demonic tongues. It's a matter of time. And listen to me, you will accept any rubbish they bring to you if the knowledge of the truth did not follow. Somebody say after me, say the knowledge of the truth. Look at all the prayer of Paul to all the churches. There is no church where Paul heard about people being saved that he did not pray that they will come to the... There was no church. One of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 1 and verse 15. When I heard of your faith, meaning when I heard you are saved. When I heard of your faith in Christ and that you are now in fellowship with brethren, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers, giving thanks that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Please don't be distracted with activities that holds no power. You know, when people attend this kind of a church, they say, this church, is it that they don't used to do, you know, they just, people who want a church where today, you know, you are doing musical cantata, tomorrow you are doing Suya Splash, next tomorrow, drama, something. You just varieties. No. It's this one volume. Just this is what we have. Say this church, no variety. Listen, the Bible says in the last days, men will have itching ears. They want varieties. We'll keep teaching you this. If God wants you to hear something else, He will give us volume 2 of the Bible. Say the knowledge of the truth. Come on, say it louder. Say the knowledge of the truth. He said, that is able to make you wise, for the scripture is profitable. Somebody say after me, say the scripture is profitable. Listen to me, it will profit you if you sit with it. If somebody is not making profit, what does he make? So if you don't have accurate knowledge of the truth, you are not making profits. You are not fruitful. You can't be fruitful. You will make loss. May you not make loss. Come on, if you are saying amen, let amen be the loudest. Let unusual hunger for knowledge fall upon you. Come on, if I'm praying for you, let amen be the loudest. Unquenchable hunger for the word. The knowledge. Cravings for gifts and talents will not take you far. That's why the greatest desire of God is that one, you are saved. Number 2, that's why I recommend, if you find a good Bible school, go and attend, not to become a pastor. Because that's why people go to Bible school now. So that you can be given color. But for the purpose of sound doctrine, sitting and writing. That's why I said last week, I find it offensive when I'm teaching, you are not writing. Because it's a waste of time. You are supposed to write when you go back home. The burial, they were not Christian when they had teaching. Apostle Paul taught them. The Bible said they went home. They sought the scriptures to see if what he said was true. Thereafter they believed. Imagine what they will do after they receive salvation.
If before it, they heard somebody preach, they go find out themselves, is what this man is saying true? The Bible said they were nobles. So after salvation, imagine what they would do with study. Can I ask you a question? How much time do you give to study every day? Some of us watch averagely 2 movies per day. Some are repenting now. They don't watch season. They just want 1 season. Praise God. Social media. I used to tell people, this is your Facebook. He said, this book shall not depart. When something is not departing from you, it means you are looking at it all the time. So this is your Facebook. Look at it all the time. Say knowledge of the truth. And that's not where we are going today. I just want us to be on the same page. So we have found out that now salvation, in the Greek word for salvation is called soteria, the same word for deliverance, preservation, safety. So when you say salvation, you are talking about somebody that is being delivered. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 13, say, who had delivered us from the kingdom, from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Somebody say after me, say, I'm delivered. But you, after being delivered, you need the knowledge of the truth. Because after you have been delivered, you have been saved. If there is no knowledge of the truth, you will still yield yourself to bondage. And many people have yielded themselves to satanic manipulations and bondage. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like you to write these few things. Very important. And we said some of the things that does not make a man saved. Salvation requires a genuine knowledge of the person and the work of Christ. Write it down. Salvation. After you have been saved, there's a requirement, a prerequisite for sound knowledge, complete knowledge of the person and the work of Christ. It is important. The Bible says in the last days there will be many gospels called another gospel. Paul praying in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Give me Philippians chapter 3. He said that I may know him. Philippians 3 and from verse 10. That I may know him. That the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. That I may know. Tell your neighbor, say we need to know. Yeah. We need to know. We need to know. We need to know. Paul was speaking. He said, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of him, Christ. Now, nothing matters but knowing him. Why do we come to church? It's not to clap. It's not to give tithes. The reason for the assembly of the brethren, you will see a type of it in the early church. The Bible says, after they taught, In their assembly, they went from house to house doing what? Teaching. From house, after the Bible says God added to the church in numbers. After they had been saved, after they were taught in the assembly, they went from one house to the other doing one thing, teaching. Knowledge of the truth. Listen to me. You'll be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. We all have one primary assignment, equipping the saints. How do you equip the saints? Teaching. We equip the saints by what? By teaching. And the saints are equipped by learning. Learning. If you are not a learner, you can't be a good Christian. You learn, you keep learning. There will never be a day we'll stop learning. This same Bible. Since the day I was born, it's still this same Bible. All preachers have preached from this same Bible. We keep learning. You hear Paul saying, I come to bring you to remembrance. He keep reminding the same teaching. So you hear this all the time. This church, salvation. This church, all the time. Epignosis. We will not teach you anything else. All the time, Holy Spirit. It's what was taught in the early church. Except our church is different from the early church. It's the same thing. And now, you know, today, preachers want to preach something that people will say, okay,
Let's hear something new. It is the reason people go into error, wanting to hear something new. Nothing new. All these things are in the epistles. We are just interpreting them. It comes fresh to you. It's the same thing. It comes fresh because it comes from the womb of the Spirit. Say knowledge. Now, it involves not merely knowing the truth about Him. Listen to me. Anybody can pick the Bible and get something out of the Bible. And that's why you hear today an Islamic cleric will be quoting the Bible and be telling you what he doesn't know about Jesus. Head knowledge. There's something we call the head knowledge. Say, I know Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. He's a Jew. That's head. That's not what we are talking about. Anybody can know that. And that's why in the university, a professor can read this and teach it. But it does not come with revelation. It's called information. So it's not just a mere knowing of the truth about Him, but actually knowing Him through the truth of His word. It's called revelation knowledge. It's called, in the Greek word, it's called epignosis. Say epignosis. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, like in a glass we behold His glory. Give it to me, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We are transformed. The more of Him we that is open unto us, the more we are transformed. Shout hallelujah. I'm going to be stressing a few things today because of our time, looking at where we stop. Last week, we were looking at a few things that does not make a man saved. Number one, going to church doesn't mean you are saved. Two, born in a Christian home does not guarantee salvation. Bearing a Christian name, you could be named Christian. Or they could even name you salvation. Doesn't mean you are saved. They call you salvation and call you another name, heart, spirit, whatever they call you, does not make you receive salvation. Only pilgrimage to Jerusalem does not make you saved. If you visit Jerusalem every year, does not make you a child of God. Attending Bible college, having gifts or potential. I know so many people who are gifted. If you say salvation, they don't understand. I was sharing with you last week the testimony of Reverend Alo, who started churches. You all know him. Gifted in the prophetic, but didn't have salvation. Wearing white garments, let me shock you. Wearing white garments is not equal to salvation. You now have your own, you have cape on it. It doesn't make you saved. You know, those days, somebody entered the church, he's not wearing garment. We see him as this one is written off. I was sharing yesterday in Bible study how some CNS members were invited to a Pentecostal church. They were having a convention and decided to go in their garments, and they chased them back. Why? They wore garments. Either you wear garment or suit does not qualify you into salvation. So, all this religious mindset, there's a salvation trousers, salvation scarf. No. Praise God. Because when we're growing up, our understanding of a Christian is what they look like, the way they dress. It's not the encounter. So when a sister wears turban and wears a skirt, long skirt that is pleated, she is saved. Hallelujah. Praying and fasting doesn't mean you are saved. Giving offering and tithe in church does not mean you are saved. Having a Christian title, apostle, prophet, pastor, most senior, whatever. Preaching salvation, you can preach it and don't have it. Morality. There are people who are highly moral. How many of you have heard about Mahatma Gandhi in India? Highly moral. He was so moral that he became an object of worship. But that does not make him receive salvation. Praise God. So salvation is a genuine repentance from sin, turning away from darkness to light, and turning from the power of darkness unto the power of God, and the receiving of the forgiveness of sin. Tell yourself, say, I am saved. Come on, say it with excitement. Say, I am saved, and I have received some forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest thing you should be excited about. If God will recall your sins, even if you yourself begin to remember your sins, you will not like yourself. Just remember, like 10 years before you were born again, you will not like to bring it back to memory. And God says, all of that is rich enough. Past, present, and future, I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, I would like us to see a few things about, yes, last week we were talking about accurate knowledge. What knowledge did God, when he says the knowledge of the truth, what knowledge is the knowledge of the truth? The church is filled with all kind of knowledge today. People bring philosophy to teach in the church. Motivational speaking. He said, I did not come with the excellency of speech. I did not come to you with the eloquency of word. Paul talking to the Corinthians. He said, but I come in the demonstration. If today there are things you will hear, you'll be shouting, pastor, right on. But that may not be the knowledge. There are all kinds of motivational speaking from the pulpit today that does not make men, does not grow men. They are the same thing the same year. They are not growing. Why? What they are hearing is not inspirational, it's motivational. And what does motivation do? It appeases to your emotions. Just like the way that pastor has a straight English. Just like his construction of, listen, you are not growing. You are only learning English. You can learn English and not learn God. The man just have the way his English is smooth. Listen to me. He may not have correct English, but he may have correct knowledge. You meet some people. I've met one Yoruba teacher before. If this man explained exegesis of the scripture, I met him on radio. This man explaining epignosis in Yoruba. So it's not English. And that's why that somebody does not speak English doesn't mean he doesn't know. English is only a language, as Yoruba is. So it's not grammar. Not grammar. He's sitting down to learn. He said, after I had encounter Paul speaking in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I departed to Arabia. What did he go and do there? For 2 years, he himself buried in study. That was why he outshined all the apostles. Until he came, there was confusion about many things in the church. Thank God. Paul. Even Peter said, our brother Paul, God has given him such a wisdom that if some of his teachings are hard to understand, that even some people are confused teaching what he's teaching. Knowledge. Say knowledge. Your victory depends not on salvation. It depends on knowledge. Why is a Christian defeated? He doesn't know. Is he saved? Yes. Saved for what? Eternity. You didn't hear what I said now. So you see a believer being molested. It is the deficiency of knowledge, not salvation. But when you know, sons of Sceva were asked, we know Paul, we know Christ. Brethren, who are you? They didn't know. Say, we are sons of Sceva. Orioke Baba wa Sceva Latiwa. Olorun Sceva. They were molested. Listen, in this world, you will mess the devil up. You see, we are not just to be saved and live some kind of nonentity life here and just go to heaven like that. We are to live a life of authority by knowledge. So you see, Apostle Paul keeps saying, for we know, for we know, for we know. Listen, this kingdom is ruled by knowing. Let me not lie to you. It's not gift. See many gifted, not talented. Talented but not lifted. They don't know. They don't know. Now, interesting, something I want to really show you today. Apostle Paul keeps spreading, keep talking about epignosis. He spoke about it in Ephesians chapter. When he said that he may give you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. That word knowledge means epignosis. In the Greek, it means accurate knowledge of Him, of Christ. So when we are gathered to teach, whatever we teach is centered on a person. Say Christ. So anywhere you wear a picture, if I teach you giving, I am, by the time I narrow it down, is to a person. If I teach you singing, if I narrow it singing, if I teach you worship, by the time we beat it, it's like a puzzle we are putting together to create one picture. And that's why when you really understand epignosis, there's no place for a pastor to teach himself. And say, this watch that I... There is no time for that. Because you are trying to expose and reveal one person. Not even an angel, not Moses. That was why in Matthew 17, when he showed them the celestial body of Christ, the Bible says, when Peter saw that revelation, he spoke to the other disciples and spoke to Jesus. I said, it is good we have three altars here. Immediately God corrected it. Saying, what you need is epignosis. This is the person. This is epignosis. Accurate. He said, this, listen to him. This one is my begotten son. In whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Don't listen to Moses. Moses spoke about him. The reason Moses was a prophet was because of him. Moses would not have need to be a prophet. They were all playing a script to reveal one person. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... So everyone that had the spirit of prophecy was because they needed to testify about somebody. Past Old Testament prophets and New Testament. That's why I say in the New Testament prophet, our assignment as prophet is not just prophesying to people. Everywhere you go, Amomiri, go clear. It shouldn't be clear because what you should be teaching, you are not teaching. The primary assignment of a prophet is not prophesying, is teaching. While you are teaching, the dimension of your office can have a touch. So there are many people who are prophets who doesn't know the assignment of a prophet in the New. If the prophet of the Old Testament prophesied about him, you, what are you doing? I just know you don't know your assignment. I don't know why I keep talking about it. The thing hurts me. I won't forget that experience. After a powerful teaching, they gave a man a microphone to come and pray. And he said, if he doesn't collect money from people, they are not blessed. Are you Christ that died on the cross? Who are you? God help us. Do you know why we are teaching you this? That you will contend for the faith. Anywhere you see somebody trying to rob you, open the Bible. The Bible says, rebuke them sharply. That's how you rebuke people without insulting them. You say, I'm not the one that said it. It is epignosis. That's how to relate it to them. You see, can you tell them to read it in Yoruba language that they carry? Say, read it. Hello, sir. So, it's not me that said it. It's not my opinion. That's how to put them in their place. Listen to me. The reason we are teaching you this is for few reasons. Number one, that you will enjoy grace and peace. The Bible says, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There is proportion of peace a believer should have when knowledge comes. There are many believers who are perturbed and worried. Are they saved? Yes. But because there is no full knowledge, complete knowledge, their mind is still disturbed. That's why you see a believer committing suicide. He is depressed. You can't be hearing this kind of teaching and commit suicide. It's not possible. The Bible says we have been accepted
in the beloved. I don't care who rejects me. I've been accepted. We have been accepted. If God will accept me, let no man accept me. His acceptance is enough. The Bible says, let all men be a liar. God remain a truthful God. The reason you feel that they don't like me, when will I get married? When all these things disturbing your mind, if you come to the revelation of who you are in Christ, he was praying for Philemon. He said that the communication of your faith might be effective by the acknowledgement. Now that word acknowledgement is epignosis. By having accurate knowledge of what is in you in Christ. Say, I know who I am. Come on, say it louder. Say, I know. That's why even when there's no money in the account, we still come here and dance. Because we are not defined by money. What define our definition is not bank accounts. You come and dance not because you have a job, but because what describes a believer is not money. Is identity in Christ. That's what gives us definition. Because if what defines you is money, then you are nothing different from an unbeliever. Because that is what they get to be relevant. They will do anything to get money. Because that is what defines them. What defines us is Christ. So when there is money, we sing. When there is no money, we celebrate. All the time, we are in celebration. Shout hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? Oh, our time is fast spent. I hope I'll be able to go. So, you know, the Bible speaking about, you know, let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 2 Peter rather, chapter 1, and from verse 1. Holy Spirit, help me with time. 2 Peter 1 and 1. Give it to me. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Now, can we all read verse 2 if you have your Bible with you? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and hold it there. So there can be increase in the measure of grace that is abounded unto you. And that's why in as believers, we flow and operate in different cadres of graces and peace. And it does not come just anyhow. It comes by one means. Say knowledge. Yeah. There are things you just know that make you peaceful. It doesn't matter the storm around you. You are just calm. Everybody say, it has scattered. You are just calm. They are wondering why you are not shouting. You know, I was traveling one day, going to Ogbomosho. I wanted to go and preach in Lautech. And I boarded a bus there in Iwo Road. No extra tire. The guy, I don't know what he took. Maybe he was drunk or something. He knew he doesn't have extra tire. And the tire, the front passenger tire, was touching the chassis. And I told him, I said, don't worry. He was too sure of what was not there. And as we left Ogbomosho, we left Oyo, still without extra tire. The next thing we heard was, just this sound. That was when I knew that even Muslims have their own tongues. All kind of tongues, legeba, gaba, all kind of. You know, I just kept mute. I just kept quiet. There was peace inside me. Why? There was covenant of longevity I know by the scripture. So what kept me calm was not because I was by the driver or somewhere. I was calm from the inside. And so, you know, when this bus stopped, I was wondering why I didn't say anything. Say we know. When they woke Jesus up, I said, "Carest not thou that we perish?" The reaction of an average man is, why did you wake me up? That should be the reaction of Jesus. The Bible says, and he said, calm, peace, storm, be calm. He got it inside so he could release it out. Hallelujah. I'll continue in second service. So wait for second service. This one is an appetizer for you. Hallelujah. What I want to teach you in second service is very profound. Number two reason why we teach you this is that you will contend. Listen, days are coming where you will see the devil will bring battle. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 from verse 1. How many of you remember that scripture? Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why? He said, remember thy creator in the days of it. Why the evil days cometh not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There are days that will come. Evil days. That if you don't have this knowledge, you will not be able to contend. It's not tongues. It's not just tongues or just talent. You need knowledge to contend with the devil. Because the only ground he has in the life of a believer is the ground of ignorance. The devil has been defeated over 2,000. The only ground is where you lack knowledge. That's the only ground. Where there is comprehensive, accurate, complete knowledge. Anywhere it comes from, you give it back to him. You show him where he belongs. Why? Because you know where you belong. Bow down your head. Say, God, let the revelation of your word increase in me. Let the hunger for the truth. Let the hunger for light. Unquenchable hunger for light and revelation increase in me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Celebrate him, celebrate him, celebrate him.
Praise God. Praise the living Jesus.